This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yeah, buddy, welcome into the New Year's Eve edition of Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, and I'll be with you all night long. And just before we hit the air, the college football playoffs first game of the quarterfinals got done with the Miami Hurricanes victorious 24-14, taking down the Ohio State Buckeyes in the Cotton Bowl. And at the end of 2025, with 1 hour left on the East Coast, we can officially declare the U is back. That's right. Miami, with its biggest win in a very long time, goes out and takes care of business in a college football playoff that it appeared for a while they were not going to be welcome to be a part of. And now they've justified the committee's decision to include them into the 12-team playoff field, and they are going to advance to the semifinals, where they are going to take on the winner of Ole Miss or Georgia in the following round. And words that I did not anticipate coming out of my mouth are about to flow. Miami is absolutely live to win the national title. That's the fact of the matter, because a statement was made today against Ohio State. In case you missed it, Miami dominated from the jump, as in the first quarter, scoreless game, but they set the tone with the physicality on the line of scrimmage. Both their offensive line and defensive line looked like the better group against the Buckeyes, the team that was number one defending their title, that was the favorite on the betting board pretty much most of the regular season. And today against Miami, Miami was significantly the better team most of the way here. As they dominated, they were more physical. Carson Beck made more plays when he had to, willing to take hits, get extra yards, pick up first downs on the ground. And the ground game was very, very strong for Miami as well. Running for a 153, led by Mark Fletcher, 19 for 90 on the ground. Jamar Brown, 5 for 26. He also added a score, as Carson Beck goes 19 to 26 for 138 yards and a touchdown. You know, Malachi Toney, we talked about this last night here on Cashing Out. We thought there was a chance he'd be neutralized. He's the best playmaker for Miami's offense, but you're looking at a secondary for Ohio State that is all going to the NFL. Those guys are starters. It's not just the back end with Caleb Downs. They've got a couple corners that I think are going to be second, third round picks in this upcoming draft. So Toney was neutralized for 5 for 16. The question was, could CJ Daniels, the transfer who was originally at LSU, could he make enough plays to help them move the chains and have enough of an offensive punch against the Buckeyes? And he did, 5 for 49, a very solid performance. Wasn't anything spectacular, but it's just what they needed in what was a low-scoring game, as the under cashes any which way. We bet 42 when it dropped as soon as this game was unveiled, and the Miami Hurricanes cover because they were dogs in this one. Some late money on Miami came in, and I have to tell you, as a University of Miami fan, my father went there. I've been rooting for this team since Gino Toretto was the quarterback. I did not anticipate them winning this game outright. I heard a lot of people that I respect on this network, very sharp people, say, I think Miami has a chance to win outright. And I can just tell you, from living this experience under Mario Cristobal, you never believe he's going to do the right thing when it needs to be done. And somehow, I think because of the two coordinator hires he made in the last couple of years, Shannon Dawson on offense, Corey Hetherington coming in from Minnesota on the defensive side, it's paid dividends. And I thought Miami wasn't that they were more prepared than Ohio State. I don't think that was the case. I think it's that they had more depth, they were more physical, and they were ultra aggressive early in this game. So we got going in the second quarter with the scoring. Mark Fletcher ends a 13-play, 83-yard Hurricanes drive with a touchdown. He was 9-1 to be your first touchdown scorer in the contest, plus $1.40 to find pay dirt. Next drive, Miami gets pick six. They take it all the way to the house, and they go up 14-0. So second quarter, they've now officially jumped Ohio State, as Keontae Scott, the transfer coming in at corner. I think, by the way, he's going to be like a fifth rounder in this draft, and he's going to be a starter in the league. I think he's going to definitely be an impact guy at some point down the road, maybe not immediately in the National Football League. But Miami then goes into halftime up 14-0 because Ohio State misses a field goal before the break. We come out of the locker rooms, and Ohio State says, hold on, here's what we need to do. Establish the run game, take the pressure off of Julian Sain. And they do that, using mostly the rush to find their way into the end zone. Bo Jackson caps off an 11-play, 82-yard drive. He was minus 135 to score a touchdown. and it's now 14-7. All of a sudden, we have a ball game, and as someone who has Miami 16-1 to win the title from very early in the season, I also had them 70-1 that I bet when it didn't look like they were going to be in the playoff, but I said, you know what? If things get weird, they somehow get in. I'd like a little bit of this just because I'm already invested at 16-1. But at that point, when Ohio State has a chance to adjust and come out of the locker room and score a touchdown on that drive, I go, all right, this is it. This is where it ends for Miami. So I just start hedging my tickets. I'm taking Ohio State in the points. I'm taking Ohio State money line. I'm saying, you know what? I've lived this before with Mario Cristobal. And for the first time ever, he is showing us that people can change. Okay, that's what I learned the most out of this game is that people can change. Miami neutralized some of that score in the third quarter with a 49-yard field goal of their own, made it 17-7. And then the fourth, Jeremiah Smith finds the end zone. He was minus 145 to score, made it 17-14. And then Miami gets the football back. They have to put away the Buckeyes with a drive. And they end up scoring a touchdown with under a minute to go as Chamar Brown finds pay dirt. And just like that, they go up 24-14. Now, Ohio State let him get in the end zone because they were hoping that they could get a score and an onside kick, and then down 10, they'd rather have that so they can get the football back down a couple scores there. So that was all intentional. They let him go into the end zone. But either way, pressure now was on Sayan to make a play through the air, and as I anticipated, and we have talked about for a while here, I have not seen Julian Sayan all season long have the burden to carry this team when they need him to. He's made some fine throws along the way, but he has never had to be that alpha dog to elevate his teammates. He's relied on them elevating him, and I'm sure he's going to be a very good quarterback because Ohio State has a history of developing young quarterbacks into studs. But right now, I don't believe he was ready for this moment. And he found out the hard way here against the Miami defense where Reuben Bain was in the backfield every play. You're going to hear a lot between now and the NFL draft about Fernando Mendoza to be the number one pick. You're going to hear a debate about Dante Moore if he balls out against Texas Tech to be the number one pick. We have been discussing this for a little over 4, 5, 6 weeks now on the show. I still believe Reuben Bain is alive to be the number one pick in the NFL draft. He is 20-1 right now. I am not convinced from a betting perspective here with Bain at 20-1 over at FanDuel. I'm not convinced any of these quarterbacks are blowing you away where maybe the Raiders, you know, number one pick, maybe they trade down. Maybe they think they can add a quarterback later. I would not be flabbergasted if these guys test and we don't see a true number one pick where Reuben Bain could go number one. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. Is it likely? Probably not. But Reuben Bain will be your first defensive player taken in the NFL draft. Wait for that to pop. It will be absolutely live because what he did today, he had Julian Sayan on his heels the second this game started. Julian Sayan was sacked 4 times coming into this game. Julian Sayan was sacked twice today. I'm sorry, was sacked 5 times today. He was sacked more in this game. I'm sorry, let me reverse. 6 times Julian Sayan was sacked in the regular season. 5 times he was sacked today. When I looked, it was 4 earlier. But they had Mesidor getting to him a couple times. Bain only got to him 1 time, but Bain was there every single play. Every drop back. You saw Reuben Bain making a difference. Number 4 was flying around in the backfield. And I think the biggest thing you take away in today's college football landscape, everyone is live. There are no more superpowers. And that's why when we're going to watch teams play coming up on New Year's Day, where you've got Indiana, who I agree is the best team in football, I don't know what separates them from everyone else. The reason why I was so reluctant to believe in Ohio State all season long, you can go back and watch the tapes, was because I didn't know the separation of them and Team 10, Team 12, even Team 13. Sure, they were better, but in a playoff format, what if they're not better for one given day? And today, Miami was the better football team. There's not even a doubt that Miami was better. And this is a team that we almost saw not make the playoff. Think about that. We were this close to not seeing this team in the playoff. And now I think they're in a very, very advantageous spot because, look, Georgia and Ole Miss are going to duke it out. And I know a lot of people are really high on Georgia. And you should be. Kirby Smart has won national titles. But I have not believed in Georgia all season long. There is something missing from that team. And there's something missing from every team. That's the thing that's going on right now in college football. They're all flawed. They're all not great. They're all pretty good. I don't even know if I'd say they're very good. They're all pretty good, and that's why anyone can win this thing. I think if you want to react to this game from a betting perspective and look at the market to win the championship, I think you have to start talking to yourself about an Ole Miss run, which has dropped from 20-1 to 16-1. Alabama at 15-1 now. Texas Tech at 7.5-1. Oregon at 5.5-1. But I'm not touching Indiana. I'm not touching Georgia at the top at 2.5 and plus 320. Miami, following this win, because they've advanced to the semis, they're plus 425. They're plus 425 to win the title. I need you to understand. On November 22nd, I bet them 70-1 to win the title. Just to throw a little bit extra onto the 16-1. It wasn't a crazy ticket. I talked about it with Ben Stevens on Live Bet Saturday while we were doing the show. Just said, you know what? On the chance they get in, maybe the defense, the offensive line can carry them. And that's what happened tonight. They're 6-0 against ranked opponents this year. 6-0. Mario Cristobal may stub his toe when he's not playing the elites in college football, but apparently he likes to get up for the big games. And they'll have a big one coming up next, whether it's Georgia, whether it's Ole Miss. I think they're absolutely live to win it all, because not because they're great, but because nobody's great. That is the lesson we've learned tonight. As the U, we can declare with a little under an hour left in 2025, is all the way freaking back. Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Don't wait. Spend $129, get 2 pounds of wings, and save 50% site-wide on steaks and more. omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. All right, when we return here on Cashing Out, we've got three more games in the college football to kick off coming up tomorrow. Which dogs can do what Miami just did? We'll break it down on the other side.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Seeing DraftKings posting lines, if they face Georgia, the Miami Hurricanes would be plus 3.5. If it's Miami versus Ole Miss in the semifinals, it is minus 1.5. So that is what the matchups would be depending on who they face. And by the way, more on Ole Miss and Georgia a little bit later. I have a play. It involves Ole Miss, but it's not on the full game. I'll explain why and why a lot of trends back it up. But I think the Rebs are live, by the way, to take down Georgia. I am not buying Georgia. But right now, I want to go in order of these games coming up for Thursday, New Year's Day. Appreciate you hanging out with me until the ball drops. Everyone at VSiN Management heard me say that, and they're terrified of what's going to come out of my mouth next. I'm going to leave it there. You were all scared. Just admit it. I'm leaving it alone. I'm showing some growth in 2025. But 45 minutes left in the year if you're on the East Coast. We got a couple hours out here in the West Coast. And in the morning, we're going to be given a gift of morning football. It's a beautiful thing on a Thursday as Oregon and Texas Tech have a showdown in the Orange Bowl. This is a game that, you know, I'm a bit conflicted on because I'm a big Oregon Dan Lanning fan. I just believe in him as a coach. I think an NFL team is going to come calling at some point, and I do think he's going to win a national title with the resources at Oregon. The way his team in what a lot of people thought was a rebuilding year is here in the playoff with a legitimate chance to win the national championship. And on the other side, I'm invested in Texas Tech. I bet them 19-1 to win the title. I think that's my only, them and Miami are my only live national championship bets going on currently at this stage of the game. And I love the story of Joey McGuire. Joey McGuire was a high school coach. He takes over at Texas Tech, where following Mike Leach, who eventually left, went on to Mississippi State, and we know what went down there with him and Craig James at the end, and them looking for an identity, he's given them their identity back. They are a true and true Texas school representing the Big 12, And now they find themselves in the playoff following an offseason where they spent money in the portal. And I think people want to knock them for that. I give them credit. They finally said the scales aren't tipped in the Georgia and the Alabama and the USC favor anymore. We can all pay people, then we're going to pay them. And that's what they did. The Red Raiders put their money where their mouth is. They said, we want to try and win. We've tried to win playing it your way, the right way, the correct way, and not breaking the rules. Well, now all of a sudden, when everyone else can pay, it does appear the product's watered down at some of the elite programs. And I think this is a statement game for Texas Tech. I am on Oregon. I took the money line. But it would not shock me if Texas Tech won. I also added the under 51 last night. I just anticipate both defenses really kind of dictating the style of this fight. You look at Texas Tech first, it is the number three scoring defense. They are number two in points per play. They're first against the run. They're 24th against the pass. Oregon, 10th in scoring defense, 24th against the run, 5th against the pass. I don't see there being many explosive plays. I think you're going to see a pretty conservative approach from both teams who are going to have struggles running the football. The thing is going to come down to who is going to break off one or two. And that's what it's going to take. That's going to be the difference in this game. Who can find a couple of explosive runs here and there? Because I'm anticipating trying to limit the turnovers through the air, not having risky throws for either quarterback, but instead putting them in situations to make throws on critical downs to move the chains. But I don't think we're going to see high flying nor a shootout. I like Oregon. I like the under. Wouldn't be shocked, though, if Texas Tech takes care of business. Let's hear from Joey McGuire, the head coach of the Red Raiders, who said it's a dream to just be here.
This is really a dream come true, especially whenever you're doing it with such a close group of players and a really close coaching staff. And, man, you're doing it for a place that you love so much. So, man, I'm honored and really excited to be in this game.
From 95 to 2016, Joey McGuire was a high school coach. Now, Joey McGuire, after going to Baylor for a few years, is the head coach at Texas Tech with a chance to advance to the national semifinals, to deliver a national championship to a school in Lubbock that when the Big 12 was the Big 12, when Texas was there, when Oklahoma was there, they were always kind of the fourth, fifth thought in that league. And people thought about contenders. There was a brief window there under Mike Leach where they were legitimate, but for the most part, people weren't thinking about Texas Tech football. This is a big statement for them. This is an opportunity to go up in class with the national stage, all eyes upon you, and to do something major. Now, with Oregon, Dan Lanning's a guy who's won national titles while he was at Georgia. He's a guy who is a young, up-and-comer, who is fiery. And I think his team is kind of actually similar to what we saw from Miami tonight. They are strong on the line of scrimmage every single year. That is one thing you can rely on from Dan Lanning, and that's why his teams are always well-coached and always well-disciplined, and they're getting healthy at receiver. For Oregon, they're going to potentially have their full complement of weapons on the outside, something that they did not have for a large portion of the season. How successful are they going to be throwing the football against Texas Tech? That remains to be seen. But having all of those guys at full strength with Dante Moore and his ability to move the football through the air, they're just going to need to pick up a few big plays. I question how often they'll be able to do it. But if I'm going to trust one of these offenses, I think the diversity of what Oregon brings to the table is why I like them. And I went money line at minus 128 earlier in the week. Look, Kenyon Sadiq, the tight end, he's a stud. He's going to be drafted probably in the second, third round in the draft this year. Dakorian Moore is a monster, right? They're getting healthier with other guys returning on the outside for them right now. And I think because of that, they're going to be able to stretch the field a couple of times and make plays against Texas Tech. And I don't know if Baron Morton and company have enough offensively to hang with Oregon if Oregon can score into the 20s, legitimately, against this defense. So I like Oregon. I like Texas Tech. Right now, the number is 2.5. The total is down to 50. I still like the under a little bit better right now because it's minus 140 on the money line for Oregon. I like the under 50 a little bit better. Dan Lanning, 2-1 to the under in bowl games. He's 2-1 straight up, 1-2 against the spread. Lanning, 32-16 against spread as a favorite, 26-22 to the under, 3-1 to the under as a neutral favorite, 11-4 against the spread against non-conference opponents. He's also 8-3 to the under on grass fields. Joey McGuire, 10-7 against the spread as a dog, 8-7 against the spread and over in non-conference. He's 7-2 ATS off a bye, 7-1 to the under on a grass field. I just think the big game experience, Dan Lanning been through this before at Georgia, at Oregon, in this playoff, some of the big games they've won on the road, I'm not blown away by Texas Tech's schedule because I'm not a big proponent of the Big 12. I think the Big 12 is very good, but let's be very clear. It's a Power 3 and the Big 12. They are not really a power program to me, power conference to me. They are right on the fringes. They're somewhere in between. Like if it was Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball, we'd call them Quad A. They're not Triple A. They're not a group team, but I don't believe they're as good as the major leagues. So that's where I would put the Big 12. Now, Texas Tech was the class of the Big 12. It was very evident. They dominated BYU twice. They took care of business against Utah when Utah had Devin Dampier and they were healthy. So I don't want to take away from what they accomplished during the year. I just believe contextually, back to that Matthew Stafford-Drake May debate, I believe that their schedule was not up to what Oregon had this year. And Oregon, with that win in Happy Valley, it feels as though people are not giving them enough credit. To go to Penn State, to win in overtime, to not blink when they almost blew that game, but to find a way to win it and essentially get James Franklin fired. Remember, James Franklin wasn't going to be fired just because of that one game. He had more opportunities, but they lost their season in that moment following the loss to Oregon, and things unraveled at UCLA after that. But the beginning of it was, it's like when Rocky punches Drago and he sees him bleed and he realizes he's human. That's what happened. Oregon did that. Oregon punched Penn State. They realized they were human and they couldn't recover. And they were exploited the rest of the way. I think that Dante Moore, I trust him in the fourth quarter. If he has to make a couple big throws to give Oregon the win, I do believe that is the side that I buy into the most. So I like Oregon to advance, which that means Oregon would await the winner of either Alabama or Indiana. Alabama or Indiana. Indiana and Oregon, a rematch. In today's college football with the parity, can you beat the same team twice? And also, in the same regard that people aren't giving them enough credit, Oregon, for the win at Penn State, the rematch with Indiana just reminded me. The revenge angle there, but we're acting like them losing to Indiana at home, who is your number one team in the nation right now, as if that was a bad thing. I think Oregon is flying way under the radar. If you were going to bet anyone in the futures market right now, Oregon at 5.5-1 would be something I would definitely consider because I'm ready for them to make a run here. It's Cashing Out VSiN, the sports betting network. Start the new year off as a better better by getting a VSiN Pro subscription. It's the final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price with our holiday special. Sign up now. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for just $79. That's all the best bets, the betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, plus coverage of the college football playoff, March Madness, and the Masters. You'll also get the college football playoff betting guide. You can get that right now tonight. Cram for tomorrow. Check it all out. Start the new year with an edge. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. All right, when we return, we are going to analyze what's coming up in the EPL, plus some college football thoughts, NFL. Rex Byers, you know him, been on the network a bunch, and he's going to have some of his best plays and angles coming up on the other side of Cashing Out.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Cashing Out rolls on from the Circus Sportsbook. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Thanks for hanging out with me all night long. 30 minutes away from 2026 on the East Coast. We'll take you through the ball dropping pause. But in case you missed it, the Miami Hurricanes, the U, officially have returned to college football prominence with a win in the Cotton Bowl, 24-14 over the Ohio State Buckeyes. We saw some late money come in on the U as they were 10-point dogs at one point, down to 9.5 for a while, and then closing all the way down to 7.5. We cashed the under 42. The total actually ended up going all the way down to 39.5. That does get home, though, with 38 points scored in the game. So that ends up being the final, 24-14. Miami gets the win. The bye in the college football playoff, not always a good thing because Ohio State looked really rusty. But at the same time, what was Ohio State? How do we know how good they were? Where were the major tests throughout the year? And I think this actually gives some credence to the bet we placed earlier in the week on Alabama plus the 7.5, because the Indiana Hoosiers were getting a lot of credit for their win in the Big Ten title game over Ohio State. I am not taking anything away. It was a great win for the program in the moment to make a statement like that. But at the same point in time, let's evaluate what that win means now. It means that Ohio State was overrated. Ohio State was overrated. Ohio State was overrated coming into the year, but they were the defending champs. They were a team that people thought they knew the most about. However, in the end, not enough to get it done against Miami, who almost didn't even make the college football playoff. All right, a guy who had a ticket on Miami today, catching the 10 points, is going to join us now on the Progressive Guest Line. He is Rex Byers, sports betting veteran, at Rex_Byers on X, and he joins us now on Cashing Out. So, Rex, talk to me, buddy. How do we feel after taking Miami and the points there? Did you sprinkle any money line, or did you just end up cashing that spread ticket?
I don't have the stones to do that. Justin, good to talk to you. Happy New Year. Yeah, it was a hell of a game, a hell of an effort. Obviously, in games like that with elite talent on both sides, you just can't afford to give up 14-point swings. And Ohio State was ready to march in and score, and they threw a pick six, and that changed the complexion. Special teams for Miami, I thought, played a big difference as well. They made their long field goal. Ohio State missed theirs. I really was telling my pops, if Ohio State can find a way to win this game, it's going to be bad news for everybody else because they will have gotten their, you know, the proverbial stumbling block game out of the way early. But they couldn't get there. Credit to Miami. They played hard. They played well. They were a deserved winner. And no matter who they play next week, whether it's going to be Georgia or Ole Miss, they'll be in for a dogfight.
Well, what do you think of this? I saw DraftKings Sportsbook put out the numbers for if Miami, if they've taken on Georgia, it's Georgia -3.5. If it's Ole Miss, it's Miami -1.5. What do you make of those two lines?
Yeah, I'd say the Georgia number against Miami would be, depending on how Georgia looks tomorrow, if they win and are not super impressive, it'll be really close to a pick 'em. Georgia maybe laying 1.5, 2 at the most. Anything more than 2 starts to look, make Miami look pretty attractive. And I do think that Miami will be favored against Ole Miss. Although it's worth noting that if Ole Miss does win tomorrow, certainly their power rating is going to have to go up. So, you know, and I only got them after my adjustment tonight. I only have Miami about 2.5 points better than Ole Miss. So I could see that Miami laying like 1.5 up to Ole Miss if they play them next week.
Sports betting analyst, veteran Rex Byers is with us at Rex_Byers on X. Well, what do you make of that game between Ole Miss and Georgia coming up in the Sugar Bowl? I took Ole Miss in the first half +3.5. I thought more than a field goal. Felt like you get an inspired group that wants to send a message, take down Georgia, who beat them earlier, right? It's an SEC game where there's some familiarity. I think Pete Golden will have something really good out of the chute. The question becomes, how do you adjust? Where I think that's where Kirby Smart steps up. So I took the +3.5. Right now, the dogs laying 6.5. Total's 55.5. What do you make of that matchup, Rex?
Yeah, they've already played once this year, and I got to watch a good piece of that game as I was involved with it live and in some second half stuff, and it was over until further notice. And then finally, Georgia got some things figured out towards the end of the third quarter, and they stopped Ole Miss the rest of the way. You know, it's like you set it up pretty well. They're going to have to set up some things, do some stuff that hasn't been seen before, and throw some new wrinkles. But Georgia, you know, they're really tough with this coach in these spots, and I expect nothing but another good effort from them as well. I think the line's right where it's supposed to be. I'm not going to be involved, unfortunately, in any of these games tomorrow until probably halftime.
Hey, Georgia was a big winner, or Miami was a big winner. I'm a Miami fan, Rex, and I didn't have it in me to bet them. I've been through the roller coaster with Mario Cristobal. As that game's playing out, and I have them 16-1 and 70-1 to win the title, so I was hedging. I was hedging during that game, so I took a little bit off the ticket, but as long as Mario Cristobal is the coach, I stand by that decision every step of the way. How about the Orange Bowl? Oregon's laying 2.5, taking on Texas Tech. Total is 50.5. I know you're not betting it officially, but is there anything that jumps out to you in that matchup?
It's fascinating because, I think Oregon's a lot of dark horse picks, not only from Beeson, but a lot of other places. I mean, you see people picking Oregon to win the whole thing. I just don't see that. I'm not a big fan of the quarterback. I thought Indiana went in there and punked their ass. It was much worse than the score indicated. I realize that's only one game, and Oregon's probably improved a little bit since then. But I don't really know about Texas Tech either. I mean, they played the worst non-conference schedule in the country. I don't think anybody can even argue that. So, you know, the bottom line is one of those, you know, I can see flaws both ways. I can see, you know, places that look for reasons to look for both sides. But Texas Tech's a really confusing team because I just don't know who they've beaten because the non-conference was so bad. And the Big 12 is still, I can't get a feel for that league. It's one of those, some of the teams show up and bother to play the bowl, some didn't. You know, and like I said, the schedule was so easy in the non-conference. Clearly, Texas Tech knows what they're doing. I was against them against Utah early in the season. They went to Utah and kicked the crap out of them. So, you know, it wasn't even competitive. I mean, that was with the backup quarterback. So, I mean, yeah, I think Texas Tech on their best day is probably the better team, but I can't be for sure about that because I just don't know who they've beaten.
Yeah, and then what does the game tonight do with Miami knocking off Ohio State? Indiana, huge win at Oregon. Give them all the credit in the world, but they made that jump to number one because they won the Big Ten. They knocked off Ohio State. Do we knock something off from Indiana following the way Ohio State looked against Miami tonight? I'm seeing the line has moved again. We're back up to Indiana laying 7.5, total of 48.5. So the market's not agreeing with what I'm throwing out there. What do you make of the Rose Bowl?
Well, the Sark Sharp guys have been betting Indiana every week. I mean, you see that the number comes out, they're going to be the favorite, and the line goes up every time. I mean, it's kind of hard to explain it for anybody that's watching Indiana football for any length of time to see them be the favorite against almost everybody they play. And then last week against Ohio State, they were a dog and got bet down. So it's like the money's on Indiana every week. It's to the point where Indiana's power rating is to a level playing like 20 points better than I've ever had them. Well, last year, no, but same idea. It's just like it's so hard to fathom Indiana. And the situation being the way it is now, I think Indiana has to be your favorite and if the current odds to win market to win the whole thing. Just because in my mind, their draw is a little bit easier. They avoid both Ohio State and Georgia until the final. And I think they can handle Alabama. I think Alabama will be one-dimensional and Indiana will be two-dimensional. And like I said, I think they'll have their way. The weather's a little bit of an equalizing factor, which would worry me with all the rain. But I would be very surprised if Indiana doesn't win the game. I don't know if they're going to cover. 7's a big number. 7.5's a big number. But I would be very surprised if Indiana does not win. And that puts them up against Oregon or Texas Tech. And they'll be favored against either one of those teams by another handy amount.
Rex Byers is our guest, bookmaker, odds maker, sports betting veteran at Rex_Byers on X. Let's go to college hoops. Couple games tomorrow that jumped out to you. Evansville and Illinois State. Illinois State laying 14.5 right now. Total 144.5. You got a great number at 16. Not sure if you like it still at 14.5. It's a big difference there. But what do you make of this matchup?
I would still take 14.5, but not for as much. Obviously, that might have been my guy and one of our friends that was in charge of moving that thing. I don't hope he didn't wreck the screen, but I guess maybe had to touch it a little bit. I like I said, Evansville should be in the game. Illinois State playing a big number. It's not like they're not supposed to win, but I just think Evansville can stay inside that number. And it's along the same lines with ISU playing it at Northern Iowa. Just one of those games that the line for me, it looks like something that ought to be closer to 8 or 7.5. And we took 11 and obviously the market agreed. So those two plays, I almost hate to give them out now that the numbers have been adjusted, but I would still go into my head, take 9.5, which is widely available still.
All right, then Northern Iowa is taking on Indiana State, NIU laying 9.5, total 131.5. What jumps out to you there?
Yeah, like I said, we took 11, and like I said, I would still take the 9.5. The thought process, pretty simple, like I say, it's just too many points, conference games start the season, there's a lot of familiarity there. I just think you're getting a decent number, not necessarily a very good team, but a lot of points.
Well, Rex, I appreciate you doing this tonight. I know you're back east. It's about to be 2026. You're broadcasting from the future. I really appreciate you joining us on the show tonight. When you get back out here to Vegas, we'll do it again, maybe in person, but would love to have you on the show a lot more. Happy New Year to you and the family, and we'll talk again soon.
Appreciate it. Take care of yourself. Be well. God bless. Happy New Year, everybody out there.
That is Rex Byers. You know him, odds maker, bookmaker, sports betting veteran at Rex_Byers on X. So all of his plays, my plays will be up at VSiN.com/picks a little bit later. And, with that Miami win today, he had them catching the 10. Look, when you have a future ticket on a team, I don't love doubling down on them. Like, my Oregon bet tomorrow is as much a hedge on my 19-1 Texas Tech future as it is me believing in Oregon. Although I do believe in Oregon. I like Oregon a little bit more than Texas Tech, but that game's coming down to the wire. That's why I didn't lay the points and I went money line with the Ducks in that spot. And speaking of college football playoff, we will look at the other games going on, including Alabama and Indiana, because the Rose Bowl, weather may play a role. Our own Wes Reynolds is out there. We'll have to get the parka out, put on the hat, the hood to stay dry in Pasadena. But I do think because the weather could impact the game, it adds to the possibility of Alabama not just covering, but potentially upsetting the Hoosiers. We'll break it down on the other side of cashing out.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson with you from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. 15 minutes remaining on the East Coast in 2025. Appreciate you hanging out with us here on New Year's Eve. Looking for some betting opportunities on New Year's Day. We had a mixed bag up at VSiN.com/picks. I'm scared to go look. Last I looked, we were right around 500 and we got off to a hot start. So I was like, oh, it's going to be a monster day. We're just killing it with the NBA props. 50-50 with the early bowl games. We did get there with the under when it came to Miami and Ohio State, in case you're just joining us. 24-14, your final score in the Cotton Bowl as the Hurricanes pick up the win as 7.5-point dogs with some late money coming in on them. And they will advance to take on the winner of Georgia and Ole Miss in the national semifinals in the college football playoff. That game was just for me, for Willis McGahee's knee. For that phantom PI call that came in the Fiesta Bowl back in January of 2003, for Ken Dorsey and Jared Payton and Andre Johnson and everything I had to go through watching that game in Adam Presser's basement, thinking that the Canes had won the national title and unfortunately had to live with the fact that they got robbed on a horrible late penalty call that I think everyone outside of Columbus, Ohio agrees was an incorrect call and absurd that it came in so late. So big one for Miami. We can declare, with 14 minutes remaining in the year, the U is now still officially all the way back. All right, that's where we stand with that game. We talked about Oregon and Texas Tech before. Now it's time to tackle the Rose Bowl. Because, look, this is a very conflicting game for a lot of people. Because the brand name bias matters. Indiana was the losingest program in college football history until Kurt Cignetti showed up and said to Google him. Since he's been there, all they've done is win. He is a difference maker at head coach. He is a program builder. He's a culture creator. And he's a great head coach. I think that's what gets lost as well. It's not just all the other stuff that goes into being the CEO. He's actually a great tactician. And he emboldens his coordinators to let them make big decisions. And this team has his attitude all over it. They are not scared of the moment. They've stepped up this year. Every single chance there has been an opportunity for them to throw their weight around, they have. Knocking off number 9, Illinois, 63-10. Taking care of business at Iowa. You go to Kinnick Stadium, a lot of dreams go to die there. They won 20-15. Then followed that up by going up to Eugene and taking care of business against Oregon, 30-20. They beat Penn State on the road. They almost blew that game late, but they found a way as Mendoza had his Heisman moment. And then in the Big Ten title game, they take care of business against number 1 Ohio State, 13-10. And a lot of people believe, with Indiana number 1 in the nation right now, they are destined to be your national champion. And I would caution anyone to believe any of these teams is that much greater than any other. The college football field is watered down. The landscape has shifted. And Indiana, I agree, is the best of the bunch, but that doesn't mean on any given day they can't be knocked off by somebody. And they just so happen to be taking on a team in Alabama that has a pedigree, that has players that expected to be here. While a lot of guys on the Hoosiers, maybe they were at James Madison or another school previously, not sure they ever envisioned that they would actually get to be in the college football playoff. This is the expectation at Alabama. That's the disparity in these two programs as they meet. Anything less than a national title in Tuscaloosa is a disappointment. And Kalen DeBoer, let's not forget, before the hype around Kurt Cignetti, Kalen DeBoer was a guy at Sioux Falls, was a guy at Fresno, was a guy who went to Washington, that all he did was win when it mattered. So before Cignetti, Kalen DeBoer was Cignetti before Cignetti. And now these two are going to meet in the Rose Bowl, and I think we're going to get fireworks. Now, the weather is likely going to impact this game in some regard, and I think that means a lot of running the football, which that does benefit Indiana. They've got Hemby and Black who can tote the rock and make plays on the ground. For Alabama, I do question their run game, but you know what? I'm always one of those people that backs the SEC over the Big Ten, given the opportunity. And some people say, well, the SEC's overrated. I think the Big Ten's overrated most years. Now, maybe not this year. Maybe not since they've won the last couple national championships. But I do like Alabama to keep this game close. I think it's going to be low scoring. I think that's the biggest thing I take away from the weather, is that I don't think either team's going to move the football very well through the air. And Fernando Mendoza is one of the best stories in college football history. What he's accomplished, the way he went to Cal and really took his lumps and tried to elevate that program and kept them in games they had no business being in. Now going to Indiana and taking home a Heisman Trophy in Bloomington, something none of us really envisioned ever being possible. But I want to be fair about the context at which how we should look at Fernando Mendoza's season. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve the Heisman, but I'm saying that in this spot against Alabama, he's going to see a different level of speed that he's not used to seeing. Okay? This is a guy who threw 33 touchdowns on the year. 27 of them came against Kennesaw State, Indiana State, Illinois, Michigan State, UCLA, Wisconsin, and Purdue. Not exactly world beaters. Now he's going to take on Alabama out of the SEC. And I know their defense hasn't been all that impressive the last couple times we've seen them. But fact of the matter remains that when Fernando Mendoza took on Iowa and Oregon and Penn State and Ohio State, the elite programs that he had to face this year on his schedule, he had 5 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. So want to be aware of that. He is the Heisman winner. There was also a trend for a long time where Heisman winners struggled when they had to play in their bowl game or whatever it may be following that. I'm not saying Mendoza is someone that I'm willing to doubt, but I don't believe he is the type of guy to take on an SEC program and just throw it all around the field and dominate. Therefore, I think Alabama can hang within the 7.5, which I'm seeing right now at DraftKings. And I think Alabama has a chance to win outright if things can go in their direction. Let's hear from first Kalen DeBoer, the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide, who talked about this quarterback matchup between Ty Simpson and Fernando Mendoza.
First of all, with Ty, you know, it's to me the confidence that that he's playing with right now. And I think it's a trust that getting his guys back around him a little bit, a little healthier, guys making some plays. They made some bunch of 50-50 catches for him at Oklahoma. But, you know, keeping him protected. And if any, you know, the run game, I still feel like we're just that close to having a game in a big moment where it makes a difference. And so, you know, just everyone's got to work together. That's what football is, team sport. And your trigger man's obviously where it all starts. But from a Mendoza standpoint, man, it's just – he's just super consistent all year long. It doesn't matter you're playing a team that you should dominate or a team that, you know, the Big Ten championship. He's just been steady. And he's got that trust and belief in his teammates. You can see it.
Yeah, and he's got a personality you're looking for, Fernando Mendoza, that you want out of your quarterback. Kind of quirky, kind of corny, a little bit above it. You feel like he's not making the inappropriate jokes in the locker room. It also seems like he should be driving a minivan to practice every day. And let's hear from Fernando Mendoza, who talked about, you know, his teammates love him. That's been a big story that's been propped up the last few weeks, and it's great to see. And Fernando Mendoza discussed with the media why he emphasizes being a good teammate.
I think it's really important because I believe our superpower as a team is that we have the glue, and that helps our resiliency and also helped us play through gritty moments. And it's really caring about the guy next to you. If you have one of your best friends lined up next to you, ready to go to war, ready to die for you, then it makes you play a little bit harder. In contrast, if you just have another coworker or, you know, someone who you might know, but kind of like an acquaintance, you might not lay your life and body on the line for them. And so I think all of us having this really strong and genuine connection helps us play harder for each other. It also helps us communicate, you know, more efficient with each other. We're able to talk to each other in different aspects. And being so close friendship-wise, we all know that, hey, if I get on, you know, if he gets on me or if I get on him, it's not that personal. You know, we're still going to be best friends or really, really good friends. It's just we want to achieve our goal.
I mean, that's literally like cookie cutter, what you want out of quarterback, how you want him to sound. I just think he's going to have a long day against this Alabama defense. Alabama is the 30th best rushing defense. They are 10th against the pass. Maybe Mendoza's legs play a role in this game, and Ty Simpson on the other side, not as mobile. That could be an issue for Alabama in this spot, especially if the weather is bad. Kalen DeBoer, 2-1 against the spread at Bama versus the Big Ten, 4-2 in his career, 2-0 against the spread as an underdog at Bama, 10-2 against the spread in his career as an underdog is one Kalen DeBoer. Kurt Cignetti, 15-8 against the spread as a favorite, 6-2 against the spread as a favorite of 3.5-10. Look, I love the story of Indiana. I was on the win total. I believed in them. And I still think that they are rightfully favored in this matchup. I just think 7 points is way too much. I took 7.5 earlier this week. I think when we evaluate what Indiana did this year, I have a lot of questions about that best win being Ohio State. And I had them before they lost to Miami tonight. After that loss, I do believe Indiana could be susceptible here, but instead I'll play it safe. I'll take the 7.5 and what I anticipate being a lower scoring game with potentially weather impacting this matchup and the Alabama Crimson Tide making it a close contest. I know it's tough to think about when you see how things went against Oklahoma in the opening round of the playoff, but they got through that. They've advanced. The rumors about DeBoer's future have come and gone. It's time now to take care of business. I think this is going to be a close one possession game down to the fourth quarter. What does Jonathan Von Tobel make of Miami's win in the college football playoff? He'll share on the other side of Cashing Out.